Year's, Chinese New Year, it's hard to find parking. Good to be here today. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would give us your wisdom so that we could continue to expand your kingdom through the church, Lord, that you have built. We ask that you give us wisdom so that we could manage the work that you have given us each day in our office, in the place that we spend most of our time. We ask that you give us wisdom so that we could enjoy the family members, the loved ones you have given to us in our lives. Most of all, give us wisdom so that we could be a good testimony in this community, in this world. Just as you have given wisdom to Daniel and his friends, so that he was able to be a great testimony before the king of Babylon. And it was put in places of responsibility for the nation in which he was merely a sojourner. Yet, through your wisdom, he made contribution. May we be able to receive your wisdom so that we will make a difference in this world, that in this time, very limited, that you have given us. Open your words so that we could behold your wonders and be motivated to live out in our lives your truth. We just pray that you would be with Pastor Albert and Elder William and his family and those who are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ across the ocean, and that you would use their love to open hearts for the kingdom. We pray this in our Lord's name. Amen. Well, this is actually a continuation of the message that that I shared sometime before Christmas. I think I mentioned the wise man. Many speculation as to who the wise men are. Many Latin American countries, they celebrate a Three Kings Day. Who are these folks? But I will submit to you, these wise men have somehow fell out of favor. They came to Jerusalem, which is really the wrong place to find Christ. In fact, their blunder of appearing before Herod caused the population, the children of Bethlehem, to be exterminated. And because they didn't know exactly where to go, they thought that they would follow a sign and they would go to Jerusalem. And so I want to mythologize these wise men. Not that they're not wise, but they were somewhat in the waning days of their, they were under the Persian. So if they were that smart, the Persian wouldn't have had been destroyed by Alexander. And so at that time, the Persian Empire was declining, waning. And so at one time, these were very influential characters. They were somehow diminished. But yet, there was a leading of the Lord for them to come to know that there was a birth of a king of Judah, even though they kind of went to the wrong person. Okay, they didn't know all the detail. It required a priest in Jerusalem to look up in the scripture in Micah. They knew exactly where the Messiah was going to be born, except they don't believe. I'd like to follow up that sort of thought about the wise man. And so that as we read the passage this morning, it talks about that Daniel, who left his country in exile, actually, he was selected. These were the whiz kids, you know, of Jerusalem. And the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, saw their talent. And so they They were brought into Babylon to learn about the wisdom of Babylon, which was much more advanced at that time in the world. In fact, China, I don't know what China was doing. They were fighting, and before the first emperor unified China, so it was a perhaps the height of human civilization. Yet Daniel was brought into the kingdom of Babylon as an orphan. He adjusted very well. He studied hard. He excelled. In fact, he was able to access knowledge that he never had when he was young in a very backward, relatively backward, Israeli sort of nation. Now, out of this kind of context, we read this morning that, in fact, Daniel became the leader of the wise man of Babylon. I think about you and me. Some of you are working in your office. Some of you have certain kind of gifts. I believe that the example of Daniel in this particular time, in this particular place, is an example that we could learn. And I think what we need as Christians is not only to be able to manage our church affair, to share the gospel, of course, but to be an impact, to be a good testimony every day in our lives. That means tomorrow, Monday morning, groggy, after Chinese New Year celebration, the Super Bowl celebration, no Jets. And Monday morning, a lot of people are going to be out, but, we as Christians are going to be set a great example. And so that the wisdom of Daniel is seen in context of a crisis, a personal crisis of his employer, his boss. The guy's, stressed out, okay? The office is in turmoil. His hair is on fire. I think this is a situation you and I find, each day of our life, perhaps in your office. I don't know what you do. Sometimes it's in our family. My father-in-law is in the hospital. It's just a major crisis in terms of health struggle. So we all go through that. And the scripture give us the context. It's probably the same, the day of Daniel and the day of the Middle East with Egypt and with all that thing that's going on, the chaos. What we see is that Daniel is a person that God has placed in Babylon. And his example, he's a man of wisdom. Not from his studying only, but his wisdom has he clearly demonstrated as well as articulated comes from God. So that what's make Daniel and you and I, who are believer of our Lord Jesus Christ, very unique, that our wisdom comes from the Lord. It's not a platitude. It's not this thing that we just say. It comes in a very practical sort of reality of each day. So the scripture tells us that the king, for some reason, Nebuchadnezzar, is a pagan. He forced down, he worshiped God, he gave all the credit for God's grace. And he says, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mystery. Gee, can you imagine one day in your place of work and perhaps your family, people may not, say the same thing as this king, but the kind of response of to you and I who claim to know Christ, a diminishing sort of breed, and give glory to the Lord because we made a difference. So what difference did he make? How did he get into a place of responsibility, of overseeing all the wise men of Babylon, and also his friend, his entourage, his co-worker, having responsibility of great importance in the kingdom. In fact, their impact not only is in this time, it carried even further. When the Babylonian Empire fell to the Persians saw in the Babylonian sort of, advisor. These are advisors, you know, the president's men, you know. And he said, well, we want to keep you guys, keep Daniel, and move them right along into the kingdom. And I think that's in a very interesting sense. If you look at the history of the Jews, the place of importance that they play, not only in the politic, but also mainly in economic sort of system that has been in place that makes the world go around, and places of science. My wife worked in Long Island Jewish Hospital, and many of us have benefited from this sort of testimony of the Jews, of people used by God, whether they're aware of it or not. And so I think for us, for me, you know, how could I make a difference as a Christian, as a pastor here in Chinatown, you know, kids walking around, how could I be of an impact so that when they encounter you and me, they would say, hey, you know, there's something about what we say, what we do, that point to another source. Wise men. Daniel was overseeing them. Well, the history tells us in chapter 2 that it began with a dream, a king of Babylon, probably the most capable individual of that time. I don't know secular history have recorded, but at least the scripture in the book of Daniel tells us that in the second years of Nebuchadnezzar, he overthrew the Assyrian. But this guy had a problem. He couldn't sleep because he had a dream. I don't know if anybody sees Inception. It's very interesting stuff, you know. Sort of invade your, a lot of thing about the brain study. Anybody interested in that stuff? It's fascinating that, you know, the frontier of neuroscience. And it's actually looking into this stuff about dream and how you could, in fact, they have this machine, right, that like they put on your head and they could change your speech pattern. They kind of could make your brain's only a computer. They could kind of reprogram it so you could say, it's bizarre, you know. But it's interesting that the king had a dream. I think the dream tells us the responsibility of being like the guy who's in charge, you know. He couldn't go to sleep at night. You know, how am I going to run this kingdom? Where will the opposition come? You know, how do I hold on to power now that I got it? And so he couldn't sleep, and he was anxious, and his somehow because of his mental state, God invaded through the way he had and put thought in his mind. He had a dream. He was so shaken up by the dream that he was what? He couldn't sleep. He was troubled, and he couldn't sleep. And so he called his what? Wise men, advisors. And here is where Daniel is part of this king's sort of men. You know, it's like President Obama, okay? He makes decision, but behind him is all these smart people making decision about politics, making decision about your economy. If those guys didn't make it, like, you know, Summers from Harvard, right, didn't do such a great job, go back to teaching, you know. You can't do it. You know, if you can't do it, you go teach, right? Go back, you know, sit in your chair over there. So the guy's out, you know, then you bring another group. And so the king had this entourage of wise men who advises him. So he calls them in. And he tells them. And the scripture in chapter 2 lists this group of individuals. The king summoned four group of individuals. In the English, NIV said, magician, enchanter, sorcerer, astrologers. And then in chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 5, further, use the term astrologers, okay? So I try to find out what these different categories mean. The more I look at it, the more it sort of blend into one. Like, they're not really, they're like, if you look at the dictionary in the Hebrew, whatever it is, You know, after a while, I guess, you know, it's the same group of folks, you know. They're not that different. Right? They're not that different. So that in chapter 2, verse 13, so the decree was issued to put the wise man. So in other words, all these guys, you know, who are magician, enchanter, sorcerer, and astrologers, and then Chaldean, or astrologers, were really the smart people. They were called a wise man. And the term for wise man is the exact transliteration where we get the word magi, M-A-G-I. So some people say it's magic, magician. So if you look at the Greek translation, the Septuagint, of the, you know, of this at Daniel, it's written like part of it is in Aramaic and Hebrew. So if you take that, you know, somebody got together, you know, and they translated the Hebrew into Greek, it's called Septuagint. Don't know anything about it. I just read about it. And the word that is used for wise man is the same as the word that's used for the magi. And so, make the long story short, these smart folks, right, real wise people are the magi. By the time they came to visit Jesus, they have lost their power. But at one time, these were powerful folks. These were the smart folks. These were the people that know what to do in any circumstances. They know the future. They advise the king when to wage war. And so you look at the description, right? First, magician. Well, the word magician has the connotation of horoscope. I don't understand all that stuff. All I know is this is the year of the what? The rabbit, right? If you ever take the sauce, you know, this Vietnamese sauce with a clear bottle, with a green cap, making a hit, they're gonna use that for what? Hot wings. That guy's making a billion. It's from Vietnam. He kind of packages. It's called Serrato sauce. What is it? I don't know what it is. But in the bottle, in front of there's a rooster, right? That rooster is used for a purpose. It's the zodiac from the Chinese horoscope. Right, okay? So apparently at one time, smart people is able to look out into space. And they will look at stars. They will be able to somehow formulate a certain kind of wisdom to advise the king. Now, where does that come from? Is it superstition? I don't know. I'm not sure. My speculation is that it has to do with an architectural structure that came from that region, so that the wise people is called astrologers, right? In chapter, if you follow chapter 2, right, in verse 5 and verse 10, these folks are called astrologers, right? Literally, they are called Chaldean. Some of you heard that term, right? Babylonian, Chaldean. These are the ancient. Has to do with the origin of high civilization. Remember, in Genesis 6, after the flood, everyone died, 8 people. People begin to what? Come together, share their pool of wisdom, and the result was to build a structure, like a pyramid, Zegra, right? And that structure, if you compare with the pyramid, if you compare with the Mayan, you know, temple, most scholars conclude that they were not just a building for a tomb. They were actually places where you kind of enter and interface with the universe, supernatural. So that the ziggurat, the Tower of Babel, was in fact a place where human could connect with supernatural wisdom in terms of how to live their lives. How could they make a fortune? How could king, you know, look at a you know, that stuff and make decision. So ultimately, this group of astrologers who are a Chaldean, in one translation of these folks, they are called inscriber, cutters. What they did was they begin to inscribe wisdom in clay tablet or cutting form and passed it down. So within Babylon, from the ancient time, there were some people who are very smart. You and I look at the stars. What's going on? It's a mess, you know. They would say, no, if you kind of look carefully, you see a rabbit, you know, if you kind of like, oh, you see a rooster. Oh, I don't know how they do it. But what they did was they actually kind of put all that stuff in a book, okay, some kind of written thing, and only they could interpret it. Now, today, how many of you are getting married this year? Okay, did your parents ask you to make sure your date is, no, okay, you're free from that, right? My son, you know, my the grandmother, you know, is Christian. Say, well, no, let's go. So you go to Chinatown, you get this thick book, right? Especially Chinese New Year, right? And they have these kind of date, right? It's a cycle of 12. You repeat it 5 times 60, right? I don't know much about the Chinese cycle. What I'm saying is that these folk wisdom, at one point is the high point of wisdom. Now, what happened is that these folks, if you study a little bit about, like, say, the Mayans, you know, they advised the king. That's why the empire was able to beat up everybody else. And Daniel was put into that circle and his friend. They were all wise men. Now, I want to compare these wise men who have some idea about science. They were actually called enchanter too. They came up with rudimentary chemistry set, you know, so that, you know, they mix stuff and then throw on the ground, psh, you know, smoke would come out, and they would, like, be able to, you know, enchant you. So, and then also they're able to put a spell. It's the same category of magician that was in Egypt when Moses. My point is that at one time these guys knew what's going on because they were connected to some supernatural power. It waned after the Tower of Babel. It waned when the people of God begin to influence. It waned to almost zero today, not really, because of human advances in science. But people still believe. How many of you believe in feng shui? Right? Some of it's environmental principle, right? Water, design principle. Some are really strange superstitions, right? So today you go around Chinatown, if you do something wrong, they throw rock at you. You say something wrong. Wisdom, you know, what do we do? Nevertheless, Daniel was placed into this group of advisors. The king had a dream. He didn't know what it was. So he called his advisor and he said, look, I had a dream. Can you tell me what the dream is and tell me what it means? Here's an interesting contrast between Daniel and his friend, and this is what I'm going to try to say. His friends, these wise people, not too wise. They might be wise in a certain kind of magic, certain elementary kind of understanding of the, you know, of the universe. Maybe they have a book, right, that they go to, like some of our financial experts. There's a book underneath they look at, you know, and those books, kind of, you got to throw them out now, right? They have the book, right? They were called cutters. They have the wisdom. But their wisdom is limited. In fact, it got them in trouble. In a conversation, the king said, okay, tell me what my dream is. And then tell me what it means, and I will bless you. If you don't know what my dream is, and you can't tell me what it means, you're going to lose everything you have, including your life. In the response of the first group of these astrologers, or Chaldean, who were the descendant of this sort of elite group of king advisor, first he said, king, tell your servant the dream. why do you have to ask again? Because the king already told you. I'm not going to tell you, right? So he asks. The king goes, didn't you hear what I said? He asks a second time. Once more in verse 7, they reply, let the king tell his servant his dream and we will. The king's getting a little upset, you know, right? Did I tell you? You have to tell me. You keep asking the third time. There's not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of. This guy is stupid. He's talking back to his boss. He's saying things that he ought not to say. Right? What he's doing is that, don't ever do that. In Chinese, they say, tai an mei. Right? You know what tai an mei is? It's you shave someone's eyebrow in front of everyone. It's an act of what? Public humility. Right? Tai an mei. You shave my eyebrow. This guy, he shaved the Nebuchadnezzar's eyebrow in front of all his friends. Like, you know, king, come on, be reasonable. No, nobody. And guess what the king response is? That's how they got in trouble. I'm going to kill every one of you. Out, you're dead. I'm going to bring in another administration. You know, Harvard was in, right? Now we're going to go to what, Chicago. Chicago is the in. We're going to just find another group. And that's how they found themselves in that predicament. The king got so upset. So it's a crisis. You know, it's a crisis of office. You know, your boss, his hair is on fire. You know, you're losing money. You're kind of like, what are you going to do? You got to be careful, all right, before you open your mouth. So these guys are not that wise. You know, they open their mouth and they got themselves what? They're going to get themselves killed. In contrast, Daniel in chapter 2, verse 13. So the decree was issued to put the wise man to death, including Daniel. But Daniel's response was, he talked to his supervisor, right, the commander of the king's guard. And he asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh order? He didn't go to directly and shave the guy's eyebrow, right? Certain thing you don't say directly, say indirectly, right? Okay. Wisdom. And then the second thing he did in verse 16, first, he diffused the sort of situation, right, by not confronting. Two, okay, what did he do secondly? Daniel in chapter 2, verse 17, he returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends. He got together with his buddies. Talk it over first. You know, like one person, limited wisdom. When you pull together, right, different ideas. And so, you know, we do that in our ministry. We do that at work. Always try to seek the advice, opinion of those who are around you. And Daniel show us that his wise action was that he asked his friend. He brought his friend together. The third thing that he did, which really in contrast, you know, what he does in this crisis situation with the those of the other wise man. Verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. He urged them to plead for mercy from the Lord of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friend might not be executed with the rest of the wise man. He know that the only solution in anything in life, right, comes from the Lord. So he prayed. He defused the situation. He met with his friends, his advisor, his brother and sister, brothers in Christ, and they start talking about it and, you know, the situation. What should we do? You know, this is a kind of a dire situation. Then they pray. And the scripture tells us that at night. We don't know whether he was sleeping. The Lord appeared to him, gave him a vision. How many of you ever receive a vision? A vision doesn't necessarily mean you got to see it. And I believe God still give us, what's the inception, right? Put idea in your head. I mean, our thought, I don't know, you dream, right? You ever dream things, right? Okay. Sometimes, I dream things. I wake up, I write it down, Or you don't have to dream, you could meditate. You could think about your predicament. And you think about a scripture. Think about a principle that you learned from the Lord, right? And you kind of mold it over in your mind, right? Let it incubate. Talk to your friends. And I believe God will reveal to you and to me how we should conduct what we could say in this situation. And to make the long story short, Daniel received instruction from the Lord. And he was bold enough to appear before the king. He's not shy. He's not afraid. He doesn't shiver. He doesn't not arrogant, not cocky. But he, after, defusing the situation, getting advice from those around him, praying, getting a direction from the Lord, he spoke. And he told the king that this vision was given to you by God. It's about kingdom. It's about your concern. It's about your place in history. It's about what's going to come. Eventually, all these kingdoms with, no matter if they're gold, silver, or bronze, they're feet of clay. There will come another kingdom ruled by God, the servant, the Messiah. And this instruction was given to the king. And so the king learned this, and he was satisfied, solved his problem for now. And he was so impressed. He thought these were the greatest gift, smartest people in the kingdom. And Daniel said, no, our smart didn't come from us. It come from the Lord. And so as a result, it was a testimony to the Lord. And the king bowed down. And then the king gave honor to God. The king gave him more responsibility, higher position. And I believe that Daniel, this was about 600 years before, this is probably about 500 years before Christ was born. The Israelites were put in exile. Last group went out 586, 586 years before Jesus was to be born. Give or take 5 years. And Daniel got the vision from God that 70 years is fulfilled. God, the people of God will return. And so 445 or so, 70 years, 68 years later, they did return. And Daniel was put in the kingdom. His message about God's kingdom came out to the king. And then the king said, here are these smart people in the kingdom. You're in charge of them. And I believe that Daniel had not only administrative oversight, he made an impact into the lives of these wise men. If you were among the wise men, here is the guy who saved your neck, right? The guy who spoke stupidly, probably out, right? Out. Here's a guy who spoke wisdom and saved your neck. Will you follow him? Will you go to his Bible study? Will you listen to what he has to say? And I believe, this is my sort of theory, that these magi that came to visit Jesus almost 500 years later were the descendant of a remnant of those who came to know the coming of the King of Israel because of Daniel. Because of Daniel's testimony, because of Daniel's opportunity to lead the kingdom and to oversee a group of people, having influence. And so we are encouraged. Perhaps God would give us the opportunity to do so, to make an impact in our kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have placed us in this world, in Chinatown. And like Daniel, they're Jews from a place in a foreign country. But nevertheless, Daniel became Babylonian. He spoke the language. He was by and large part of the country of Babylon. And we find ourselves the same, even though our ancestors came from China or other part of Asia or other maybe from here. We find ourselves living in a community and in a society that we always are reminded that we are different, especially when we celebrate Chinese New Year. Yet, Lord, we pray that through all in all, every circumstances we face each day, we may be able to draw upon your wisdom to be a good testimony. Some, like Daniel, he diffused a very volatile situation. He was a peacemaker. Like Daniel, he was humble, always willing to seek advice from others what to do. But most of all, Lord, he bowed down before you, asking that you give him wisdom to manage his life crisis. And Lord, we pray the same, that we would follow the example of Daniel, so that we may, in a small way, be a good testimony to your love, so that others may come to know Christ. It is in the name of our Lord we pray. Amen.